We have Stephanie on the phone from OCAP. And Shiriki, you're with what organization there in Missouri?
I'm the spokesperson for the Tunde Atakoli Freedom Campaign and the chairperson of STAC, S-T-A-C, Stop Targeting the African Community.
And I'd like to introduce you to Stephanie, who's with the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, working out of Toronto there. Stephanie, meet Shiriki.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And Stephanie, you had just asked Shiriki a question. I want to go ahead and invite the listeners to hear that part of the conversation. You had asked her what was happening in the States among within the prisons after September the 11th. Shiriki, can you go ahead and comment?
Yes. Shortly after 9-1-1 here in the United States, the Justice Department sent out a directive to all prisons to round up the political prisoners and place them in SHU, Segregated Housing Unit. And that's what was done, and Sundiata was released from SHU just last week since 9/11.
And Stephanie, this is the conditions of people in custody of the United States is also an issue with you, because there is currently a Canadian citizen still being held in the United States. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Pretty much the only Canadian citizen that we've been made aware of, or that the Canadian public has been made aware of, Shakir Bolak, has been in jail since about 10 days after September 11th. And the Canadian and American governments have now been forced to get involved because of public pressure. But truth of the fact is that he's still sitting in solitary, facing, you know, the strip search every time he goes to see his lawyer, 24-hour bright lights, you know, really horrendous conditions. And it seems as if the INS, Immigration and Naturalization Services in the States, is in collusion with Ashcroft and the Department of Justice in terms of holding Shakir on what was an immigration violation, which is a criminal charge in the States, but holding him indefinitely without charging him so that he could be investigated.
And what have the changes been for Sundiata? Can you tell us what has happened most recently in this case? You said that he experienced a transfer not too long ago?
Well, Sundiata, when I met him, he was at Leavenworth Federal Prison in Leavenworth, Kansas. And I think it was in 94 that he was transferred to at USP Allenwood in White Deer, Pennsylvania. But Stephanie is correct about the conditions in which these prisoners are housed under. The resolution, there was a resolution that John Ashcroft had presented before the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and we had until December 31st of 2001, the public had until December 31st, 2001, to comment on that resolution. And this resolution gave the John Ashcroft Justice Department the authority to tell the Federal Bureau of Prisons or any other prison where these political prisoners are being held to round them up if the Justice Department feels there's credible evidence that a prisoner will communicate violence through an attorney or their agents, they can be held in SHU for 120 days and up to 1 year. Okay? They can also eavesdrop, record client attorney conversations if they feel that these prisoners will use their attorneys as conduits to perpetuate violence.
Does that kind of action, Stephanie, by by John Ashcroft impact your attempts to help get Shakir free?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. The fact that it is John Ashcroft and the Department of Justice's discretion to decide whether or not the evidence is credible is exactly the sort of thing that's going on with Shakir as well. He has now actually been charged formally with illegal entry into the United States. But what his lawyers are going to do is push a hearing, push a bail hearing, push a pretrial, so that the evidence actually has to be produced, because they firmly believe that, you know, there is nothing with which to hold this man for these alleged criminal investigations. Yes, illegal entry into the United States, it's intention, you know, it's very possible that that's a valid charge, but nothing above and beyond that. And the insinuations are that there is, you know, far more going on here. And when one of his lawyers went to visit him just before the federal court hearing last week, he brought Canadian media with him to the detention center, and the lawyer was informed that Shakir was no longer being held at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn. And the next day, when Shakir appeared at his first court appearance, he was able to let his lawyers know that indeed he'd been there all along. But the prison officials were certainly not going to allow any sort of media to capture, you know, images of exactly how these men are being treated and exactly what's going on in the prisons.
Shiriki, has CNN contacted you about what's been happening with political prisoners since September the 11th?
The mainstream media, the white-controlled mainstream media, does not carry anything pertaining to the political prisoners held in this country. You know, you don't get any play from the mainstream media on issues like this. As I said, this country maintains there are no political prisoners in its prisons. There are people in its prisons are no more than common criminals, okay? So when John Ashcroft gave the directive to round up these individuals, and they were told, Sundiata, along with 15 other prisoners, were told they were being rounded up because they had anti-government, they were anti-government or had been tried or had a history dealing with explosives. And Sundiata specifically was told because he was a member of the Black Panther Party was the reason why they were rounding him up. And the tactics that they use is, you know, they just can't go and round up Sundiata, you know, alone. So they want to make it look like that there are other individuals involved. And so that's why they go get more prisoners along with the individual that they have targeted. But all the 15 other prisoners was released shortly after they were rounded up, but Sundiata wasn't.
Yeah, he just got released the other day, correct?
He just got released last week.
Yeah. Stephanie, can you comment on that as well? What has been the mainstream media's response about Shakir's case? And also, can you tell us, would you say that Shakir and the other 1,200, approximately 1,200 people who were, let's say, disappeared off the streets of the United States after September the 11th, and even some right here in Canada, are they political prisoners?
Well, in terms of mainstream press coverage, when we initially contacted the Canadian government demanding that they get involved, as Shakir is a Canadian citizen and you know, it's their duty to get involved, there was no action until that letter was leaked to the public. And the mainstream press actually was, for a while, was fairly interested in the case because we haven't had proof of or evidence of a Canadian citizen being disappeared in this manner, and especially also because the way that that it was coming out, the Canadian government had not done what they were obliged to do. So the mainstream press did jump on it, but the story ended up being presented in such a way that the relationships or the back and forth between the Canadian and American governments was the focus, and neither government was willing to take on responsibility for having acted, you know, out of order or not having done what they were supposed to do. And a recent development is that the American government leaked this document which says Shakir waived his rights to contact the Canadian consulate. And this is a right that all foreign national detainees have under a Vienna Convention in the United States, but they leaked this document that said, look, Shakir, you know, has signed this piece of paper, waived his rights to contact the Canadian consulate, and, I mean, and so that's sort of the angle that the mainstream press has taken on it, and it's completely ridiculous, first of all, because Both governments have responsibility to contact each other regardless of what the individual decides. I mean, that's something you can argue in court. But secondly, this is a guy who was taken down by special agents outside his taxi school, who has been jailed in solitary confinement for almost 4 months, who has federal agents breathing down his neck every step of the way, who, faces, along with all the other guys confined with him, consistent taunting about September 11th. Like, it's very, very plausible that if such a document was signed, it was signed under coercion. But, of course, that's, you know, something that the mainstream press and the government is certainly not willing to suggest. And yeah, I do think that all signs point to very obvious racial targeting and very obvious, you know, that, like, these people are political prisoners. There's a lot of reprehensible action by the government going on here, and it's starting only now to come out that there are detainees in Canada as well, largely of Arabic Muslim descent.
Shariki, can you tell us how long have you been working with political prisoners like Sundiata?
Since 1990.
So are you surprised at some of the tactics that Stephanie there is describing that Shakir experienced?
No, because if you know the history of the prisons within the United States, Sundiata used to be housed in, according to the Department for Cruelty to Animals, was housed in a cell that they think that they was not required for a 90-pound German Shepherd dog. They had him housed in something like that in the United States. The Cruelty to Animals said they don't even put a 90-pound German Shepherd dog in those conditions. He has been exposed to tuberculosis inside the United States prisons. So control units, he spent 8 years at Marion, where, just as Stephanie was saying, locked down 23 hours a day. Okay, you're totally dependent upon the guard. If you run out of toilet tissue because you're not in general population, if the guard don't bring you any tissue, you have no tissue. You see what I'm saying? Anytime you leave your cell for whatever reason, to take a shower or whatever, you are strip searched. Means someone is looking in your ass for what? Okay? And this is done when these prisoners are housed in these control units. And Sundiata lived like that for 8 years at the notorious Marion Penitentiary in Marion, Illinois.
And we'll probably hear more stories very similar to this, probably hearing more reports in the future as Taliban soldiers are being deported and exported to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. I'd like to invite both of you to give contact information for how people can stay informed about the situations of Sundiata as well as Shakir. Stephanie, can you go ahead and close out?
Yeah, you can always keep an eye on the OCAP website, which is www.ocap.ca. I also encourage people to email us directly, ocap@tao.ca, and also please give us a call, 416-925-6939.
Shariki, go ahead.
Yes, and you can reach the Sundiata Akoli Freedom Campaign at 816-483-4138. Or email me at shariki@accessus.net.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.